treatment by field medics. On Wednesday at dawn, Israeli soldiers have kidnapped at least 23 Palestinians, including several children, in different parts of the occupied West Bank, mainly in Jerusalem and Bethlehem. The Jerusalem Office of the Palestinian Prisoner Society, PPS, said that soldiers searched several homes in different parts of the occupied city and kidnapped 14 Palestinians. In addition, the soldiers invaded the Hesher refugee camp and Nahalin town in Bethlehem and kidnapped 6 civilians. In Jenin, Hebron and Tulkarem cities, Israeli troops kidnapped 3 civilians after searching their homes, local sources reported. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, February 10th, 2016 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Ishmael and me, Ghassan Bandura.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Jenna Yokoyama, Galen Sanford, Jimmy Tardy, Robin Ryan, and Kristen Yount. The producer is Lisa Loving. Our engineer is Jimmy Tardy. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7 o'clock is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with Bob Jumdef, Executive Director, Disability Rights Oregon, about the DOJ settlement agreement with the State of Oregon Mental Health System. At 9, hear Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, Investigative News Radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock on Between the Covers, Pamela Rottner Sakamoto discusses her book, Midnight in Broad Daylight, A Japanese Family Caught Between Two Worlds. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, Portland art duo Jacob and Arnold Pander talk about their newest project, the interactive adventure comic, The Dissident. Thank you, KBOO community members, for supporting your radio station. If you are not currently a member, you can become one right now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
For KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
Time once again for News from the Boo, our weekly roundup of items of interest here at KBOO and in the greater listening community. We are joined tonight by station co-manager Mike Crenshaw, who has brought with him a special guest for tonight's News from the Boo. Mike, who have you brought with you?
Hey, Brian and Aaron. Today, I invited Pamela Santos to talk to us and the KBOO listeners about her new role as membership director.
Welcome, Pamela.
Hi. Good to be here.
So how long have you been involved with KBOO before you became membership director?
So I was a volunteer with KBOO, and I want to say it's been a year and a few months. I was a guest on APA Compass, that's no longer here, and also a guest on Bread and Roses and the Radio Bug Stuck.
And how did you end up becoming membership director from starting out as a volunteer?
I can be, you know, I can make this into a big old story, but it's kind of the way that all jobs go. You apply. So I heard about it. I definitely thought it was a great opportunity for the things that I wanted to do, and I just went for it.
Well, that actually raises the next question, which is what interested you about the job and what are you excited to do as membership director?
A lot of it has to do with, so I've had different kind of jobs in the past. Most recently as an organizer in Portland. I'm actually from New York, raised in Queens. Always have to mention that. And I've also been in the nonprofit and kind of government sectors as well. So I haven't actually done anything with radio before I came to KABU, but a lot of the things that I've done before had to do with membership. So this one place that I had volunteered for, they're known as not as UNIFEM anymore, but they're now known as UN for Women. And there was the New York chapter for them, and I did the membership for them. And so I thought that there was stuff that I could bring from that aspect, but I also know, and frankly, this was in my cover letter, I just said I love KABU so much. Everyone pretty much knew me that way.
And how long have you been at the wheel now?
It's honestly not even 5 weeks, I would say. I came in right before the new year.
So the bloom is still on the rose then?
Oh, it's going to be on the rose. It's going to be. It's going to be there until spring drive, maybe a little bit after the spring member drive. I think that this is kind of a great place that in terms of my comrades, in terms of everyone here at the station, they're not going to kind of let me fall, you could say.
Well, give us the elevator pitch. Why should someone become a member of KABU?
The best part about this is that somebody can be a member for as little as $5 a month. I've done it. Other people have done it. And it's so little that just adds up to so much once in the year. And more of, I want to say, the thing that surprised me the most since I had started the job is knowing that the people who sustain monthly actually have, I swear these are real numbers, the retention rate is 99.73%. So they're just more likely to stay with KABU and continue giving when you just take a little bit, you know, at a time in the month. That's a good pitch. Yeah,
great pitch. So are there other benefits that are not so obvious to becoming a member?
I would like to think that a lot of the intangible benefits have to do with understanding what KABU is. If you understand that KABU is community radio, and then when you understand the way that a lot of the different volunteers kind of hold KABU in this regard, that we call, we refer to ourselves as the beloved community, you know, because this is what it is. It's we try to, and I say we, meaning members, staff, volunteers, try to make this place a safe and liberated place with a lot of love.
Is there anything that you can think of since you've been in Portland and been a member of KABU and a volunteer, now that you're staff and the membership director, that you would like to see done differently that KABU hasn't been doing?
We're just going to get real, aren't we?
Yes.
We're just going to get real. Okay. The way that I see it is, frankly, I really have to say, and I told him when he left, the last membership director, Sun Lee, and I said, and you were witness to this, I said, thank you so much for raising the bar so high for me to kind of keep the standards going and expectations. So he did really honestly run such a tight ship. I'm a Filipino American, and Sun Lee is also a person of color, but I think perhaps the difference that I would bring to it is Although I'm not the first person of color to come into this role or even to this space, I think I come with an organizer lens, and I come with this intention to, I don't want to say represent for, but I think the responsibility that kind of gets put on a lot of people of color in Portland in such a very white dominant space is that when we are in a space, we try to open the doors for other people like us. So if I can make and do anything where people who haven't been listeners and who haven't been members before, because they didn't really think that KBU was for them, if I can find ways to let them in, I'm like, no, look at me, I'm here. We have great programming, with more programming actually. In the evenings, we do a lot of cultural programming that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, if we let people know about what KBU is really like, the fact that we work on ally skills building, we work on everything with an anti-oppression lens, I think that goes a long way to say to people who may have not thought that they would have had a place here, may not have thought they were welcome here, to know that, you know, this is for them. I mean, come on, like, where are you going to get an evening of Afrotainment?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excellent notion, because yeah, you're not just talking about how to get more listeners to become members, mm-hmm. but how do you actually grow the community of listeners, which then organically produces a larger membership base.
Hopefully. It's like you're living in my brain. Did you rent a space here? Did you come in and just
I'll never tell.
Get in the back of my brain? So Sun, I'm bringing it back to, I definitely credit the people who've already come up with this great idea. You're going to grow members when you also grow listeners. That's just it. I mean, and if the members aren't listening, why are they giving? So I think when people understand that it's a community space, and everything that they do goes towards keeping the lights on. We always say that at every one of the member drives, but also people just not realizing that everything that has been going on. I mean, we're headed into our 50th anniversary in 2 years, and so it is kind of a great thing to have a community radio station keep standing for 48 years when over 86%, I want to say, of all of the money coming in is from members. So it's great.
That's awesome. And it makes me wonder, because you came here from Queens, New York, and you haven't been here that long. And one of the questions that we always are examining is, with the metro area growing each year because mm-hmm. everyone's coming, how are people going to find out about KBU? So you not being from Portland, like a lot of our members and listeners are, what was it about KBU that drew you in as a transplant?
Word of mouth. So even though you're going to find out, I know everybody. No, most everybody. I know everybody from how many degrees of separation. So I tend to, here's a fun fact. I didn't know a single person when I moved to Oregon, a single buddy. And by the time that I want to say I got in, maybe it was about 4-5 months or something, it was other people who connected me to APA Compass, which was an Asian Pacific Islander public affairs show in the morning. And that was going on for 10 years. So whatever kind of circles I found myself in, they just kept connecting the dots for me, and I found my way to them, took a class, found my way to the Feminist Bread and Roses Collective that I'm a part of. So I think if people think about their natural relationships in Portland, think about, oh, you know, I know this person in my child's school. Oh, this. I mean, people have all of these organic relationships in Portland, and they don't really think about it as much. And I think if we just kind of think about ways that people just talk about KBU to their barista.
Well, we have just about a minute left. I'm curious, bigger picture, what was it that drew you to Portland before you were drawn to KBOO?
So the stock answer I always give is the coffee. Just stock, you know.
But good. There's stuff down in New York now, so it can't be just the coffee.
It's not just the coffee. It really isn't. It's the good, isn't that funny? The New Yorker response, like, no, just shush, I'm just telling you coffee. No, it was actually, I'm not even going to hold back on this. I'm from Queens. I also lived in Brooklyn right before I moved, but I wanted to move to San Francisco. Sorry, Portland, you were second choice. First love was going to be San Francisco.
You just broke Portland's heart.
I am so sorry, Portland. Please still be a member.
Yeah,
like, I'm just... But you know what? I'll even say it. Portland is Portland. I actually like fell in love with Portland as soon as I got here. It's just, it doesn't have to be New York. It doesn't have to be, sorry to say, you're not going to be Queens. You're not going to be Brooklyn. Don't try. It's really great to be Portland.
Words of wisdom.
Thank you, Pam.
Yeah, Pam, congratulations on the new position and best of luck in all your plans.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
See y'all next week.
This is KBOO Portland. Up next, Right to Survive Radio. First, a little info that we want to pass on to you.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Holding On to the Sky, February 5th through 7th and 12th through 14th, 8 p.m. at the Peninsula Odd Fellows Lodge,